Well, good morning, folks. It's great to be with you today. We're turning to the book of Judges, please, and the chapter 6, the book of Judges, and the chapter 6. I'd like to thank the Oversight for their invitation to come along with you this morning. I was with you before. I think it was in the middle of COVID. It was around that time anyway, but it's great that we've come out of that, and we do thank the Lord for his faithfulness over those years, and we do trust even this morning that the Lord will bless our time together around his precious word. Judges chapter 6, we're reading together from verse 36, please. We're coming to that familiar passage of scripture, that episode of Gideon and the fleece. So we'll see what we can glean from it this morning. Judges chapter 6, reading from verse 36, please. The word of God says, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said." And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Amen. And we do trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. Short-term memory loss is something that can spiritually hinder the walk and the life of God's people. I don't have any children to use as sermon illustrations, and my mother says amen to that, but I do have a Labradoodle. We got him 2 years ago. When we got him, we were told he was a cockapoo, but he kept growing and growing. He's the size of my dad's Labrador, so that kind of ruled out the diagnosis we were given. But anytime he's taken away in the car somewhere, it's a struggle to get him into the back seat. He will not get into that car for love or money. He'll be shaken with fear. The back legs are prized open and you can't get him through the door between the door and the front seat that's pushed down. You can't get him in. And whenever you're traveling, he'll be shaken and he'll be worrying about what it is that's going on. Whenever we're coming home and he's getting into the same car and we're traveling on the same route, you don't need to tell him twice to get in. He'll jump into that back seat and he'll be all right and he'll sit and he'll pant away with his heart content. But for whatever reason, he's been in that car many times, but whenever he's trying to get in, he's worried, he's shaken and he's arrested with fear. Even though he knows what it is to be there, the many times he's been there, knowing that he's got there safe and he's got home again. Child of God this morning, how often have you found yourself in the same situation and yet still being worried and still being fearful? You have that experience that God has seen you through. You know what it is for God to have not only his promises given to you in those times, but his very presence and his power given to you in those circumstances before. And yet, time and time again, fear can often creep in to the heart of the child of God. Paul told Timothy that God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us that power and love and a sound mind. And the Lord doesn't want his children to freeze up with fear at every moment of indecisiveness. He doesn't want his children to worry and be filled with fear and anxiety every step we take in his will. So Gideon is a great character to study for those who feel like they need to grow in faith and need to grow in assurance. Before we get to this point, Gideon had already been promised by God and already had been proven by God the promise that God had told him that he would use him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. But here, of course, is this infamous record of the fleece. He desires yet another two signs before he can accept the will of God. Is the Lord calling you to something this morning, dear believer? Has the Lord been calling you to something over the last season or two, over the last period of weeks or even months, maybe even years? Is the Lord calling you to take that step in faith for him? Is there something just holding you back? Is there that lack of assurance that you feel like you need? Is there that lack of faith, as it were, in the promises of God? Is the Lord encouraging you to trust him and take that next step in his will that he's called you to maybe for a good while now? See here Gideon's circumstances that he finds himself in. See the various things that he goes through. And I trust that there's a word even for some of God's people this morning. First of all, we see Gideon's communion here. Gideon's communion, because even though he is somebody who is hesitant, even though he is somebody who lacks that faith and that assurance at times, he starts here in the right place. Gideon said unto God. And in the earlier part of chapter 6 is where the Lord calls Gideon. Gideon's going to be a deliverer for the people of Israel. He's going to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And the very judge, the very deliverer God's going to use is hiding in a cave from the very enemies that God is going to liberate his people from. And Gideon's filled with fear. He's filled with worry. He feels so insignificant in the sight and in the plans of God. But gradually over time, Gideon builds up his faith. He builds up his assurance. He builds up his boldness as he moves on with the Lord. Again, we already said God had already promised him many times. God had already proven many times that he was going to use him. He had already told Gideon and promised Gideon that the Midianites would be destroyed, or the Midianites would be beaten in battle. Israel would be free from their oppression. And yet here again, Gideon seeks further assurance. He seeks further testing. He seeks a further sign that things are going to go the way God says they would. But at least he turns to the right thing. At least he turns to the right person. Gideon said, unto God. You know, oftentimes whenever God's people are filled with worry, filled with confusion, there's many things they can turn to. There's many opinions they can turn to. There's many books they can turn to, even by great men of God, yes, but they often neglect the Word of God. They often neglect the promises that God has given to them. They often neglect what God has said he would do. Even the past experiences that God has brought them through, even the past times that God has proven his faithfulness, the past time God has proven his power, they can often be forgotten, can't they? Whenever we're faced with another step in the will of God. And yet God wants his people to move on with him. And as we see here with Gideon, yes, he lacks that assurance, but he does turn to the Lord. He doesn't trust in his own instincts. He doesn't let his fear override his spiritual walk completely. But he does turn to the Lord. You know, the psalmist says, Psalm 25, and the verse 5, he said, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for on thee do I wait all the day long. And maybe there's a child of God here this morning, and you have been waiting on the Lord, and maybe it has felt like all the day long. Maybe it has felt like you've been waiting on him for a good while, to bring that sense of assurance that you need, or even to bring a sense of clarity to a situation. Even though it may feel long, dear believer, know you're doing the right thing. Know that waiting on the Lord is a thing not to be scorned. For those that wait upon the Lord, Isaiah says, shall renew their strength. And will know great help and great blessing on the Lord. He will continue to lead and guide while we wait on him. And so if those moments of confusion do arise, just keep trusting in him. Because he will bring all those things to pass. We see Gideon's communion here. He's saying unto the Lord, and he is in fellowship with the Lord, but he hasn't completely forgotten the word of God. Because look at what he says in verse 36. If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. You know, he is filled with worry. He's filled with indecisiveness. But he still trusts the word of God. He still remembers at least the word of God. And he brings God's word back to him. He remembers the promise that God has given him multiple times that God will use him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. And even though he is worried here, even though he is anxious, he still trusts the word of God. He still clings to the word of God. He now knows not to rely on his own experience. He knows not to trust in himself. Whenever God called him, Gideon had a lot of excuses lined up as to why he thought God had the wrong man. Gideon thought he was the least in his father's house. He was the black sheep of the family, as it were. Nobody else was going to think of him, even in his own household, and yet God wants to use him. Even in his own family, he says they were the least in his tribe. So he's far down the pecking order as far as his own experience goes, as far as his own even social standing goes. Gideon knows he's far down the pecking order, but here he's learned not to trust in his own experience. He's learned not to trust in himself. He's now acknowledged and he's learned over these, even throughout chapter 6, he's learned that God is what he says he is. He's learned that God does what he says he does. And here is a big moment, not only in Gideon's life, but in the life of the nation of Israel. in the life of the people of Israel as they tried to establish themselves in the land. This is before the reign of the kings had come in. But at least he still trusts in the Lord. And he still takes the Lord at his word. Right throughout the word of God, we have many assurances about the promises that God gives to his people. Second Peter calls three things precious. And one of those things is the precious promises of our God. Let me ask you this morning, dear believer, is the word of God precious to you? Are the promises that he gives precious to you? Whenever Job was in the midst of his suffering, he said he esteemed the words of God's mouth more than my necessary food. How precious Job viewed the word of God, even in those times of darkness, in those times where many others in his circumstances neglect the word of God. Oh, they were still precious to him. Do you love his word, dear believer? Do you take him at his word? Do you remember what it is he says he will do and the various things that he says that he is? See how close Gideon is to the Lord here, even in this time of confusion. Yet he still has these doubts. Because yes, he remembers the word of God, and yes, he's still in the presence of God here. He still trusts in the Lord, but there's still this doubt here, and it's a big two-letter word here as he starts off this communication. Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel. Now, yes, we can commend Gideon for doing all the right things here, for staying in fellowship with the Lord, for trusting and remembering even the word of God. He's doing all the right things. He's seeking the Lord in this moment of hesitancy. He's seeking the Lord in this moment of confusion, but he still has his doubts. He's still that little bit anxious as to if God will truly do what he says he will do. Whenever we read of the people of Israel crossing over the River Jordan to start heading towards Jericho, and we see them there on the banks of the Red Sea in Joshua chapter 4. And they're just getting ready to cross over, and many of them may have thought it would be like the Red Sea, where Moses put his staff in the water, or waved his staff over the water, and the waters parted, and they'd go through on the dry ground. No, it wasn't to be that time. Because the Lord told Joshua to tell the priests to set the foot in the water, and then it would part. They had to get their feet wet before the dry land would appear. And there may have been some hesitancy there. They may have had their foot hovering over that water for a wee while, for a minute or two, just to see if God would change his mind and make it a bit easier. But until they put their foot in the water, then the waters would part. It takes a bold step of faith, yes, to trust the Lord. And as we see again with Gideon, in the earlier part of chapter 6, he's a very fearful individual. And compared earlier on in the chapter to what we see of him now towards the end of this chapter, he has come on leaps and bounds, as we would say, spiritually speaking. He's learned to trust the Lord, but that maturity doesn't come overnight. But Gideon, although he is weak in the faith, and he would admit that, even though he is weak in the faith here, he still wants the will of God to come to pass. Gideon isn't looking for something to back out of here. Gideon isn't asking God to change his mind. But he wants God to prove himself. He truly wants God to help him here. He knows that without the Lord he can do nothing. He knows, like Zechariah said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He knows that he needs the Lord to undertake for him, for this great challenge that lays ahead of him. And again, the Lord sympathizes with his people this morning. If you're sympathizing with Gideon here, the Lord sympathizes with you. Because whenever he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, remember what he said to his disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He knows we are but dust this morning. He knows we have our moments of weakness. He knows we have those moments where we feel limited. But he can still undertake for his people. He can still see through what it is he said he would do. In those moments of confusion, dear believer, stay close to the Lord. Remember Gideon's communion this morning. And then we see Gideon's conditions. This is what he asks the Lord to do. This is the sign that he seeks for here, to know that God is continuing to move on with him. And this is where Gideon asks the various things about the fleece. He says he'll put the fleece of wool in the floor in the verse 37. If he wakes up in the morning and the dew's on the fleece and it's dry all round the ground, then he knows, Gideon says, that the Lord is indeed going to move on with him. And as we look at these conditions that Gideon lays out here before the Lord, as he seeks God's will once again, as he seeks for clarity in this situation, there's great practical advice here to take from Gideon when it comes to praying for the Lord to reveal his will, when it comes to praying for the Lord to lead and guide for his people. Because whenever we see this verse 37 and then again in verse 39, we see that Gideon's prayer is very specific. We're left in no doubt here as to what Gideon expects to see in the morning. We're left in no doubt as to how Gideon wants to see God move, so he can take that with a great sense of assurity and confidence that this is what God wants him to do. He's very deliberate here. He's very specific. He says he'll put the fleece outside. If the fleece is damp and the ground's dry, then he'll take it as a sign from God. You can't get more specific than that. See how specific Gideon is here with his prayers to the Lord as he seeks for clarity. He wants to limit the scope of misunderstanding. He wants to make sure that he can't mistake anything to be anything else but the will of God. If Gideon had asked for something that was so vague that anything could have happened and Gideon claimed it as a saying, he would have been even more confused than he was at this moment in time. And so he just lays out before the Lord what he trusts God is able to do. And he's very specific about his prayers. He's very specific about what it is he wants the Lord to do. A great example of specific prayers is that of Abraham's servant. Remember, Abraham sent his servant out into the land to search for a wife for Isaac. And Abram's servant made a very specific prayer so that he would determine which wife would be the right one for Isaac. Whenever he got to the land and he sat by a well and he prayed to the Lord, "The damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master." Such a deliberate, such a specific request for God to bring forth. If the woman comes and wants to, and I ask for a drink, and she says, "In fact, I'll give your camels a drink as well." Again, you can't get any more specific than that. And that's exactly what happened. Rebecca came. The man asked for a drink. She says, "I'll give you a drink, and I'll get your camels a drink also." So specific was Abraham's servant's request that he was left in no doubt that it was God at work. Whenever we pray, dear believer, this morning for a sign for God to work, it needs to be specific. It has to be particular. Because if you pray for something that's so broad that anything could have answered it, if you pray for something so broad that even mere human intervention could have just been a simple part of it, it breeds more confusion. You're left wondering if it was of the Lord at all. And so if we trust the Lord will fulfill his word, if we trust the Lord will give his people faith, if you trust this morning that the Lord will bring clarity to a situation, you can be as specific as you need to be, because the Lord will bring those things to pass. James says to his people, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally." The Lord will help you understand the situation. Don't feel like you're putting God in a box or trying to be so confusing to the Lord, because you just want to know a greater sense of assurance and clarity. Trust in him. Lay down those conditions before him. And if it is of the Lord, then you truly will know that it's of the Lord. Gideon's condition here, he wants something specific. And he also wants something that's seen. He doesn't pray for a change of emotion. He doesn't pray, "Lord, if I wake up in the morning and I feel greatly invigorated to go out and beat the Midianites one by one, then I'll know, Lord, that this is of you." But he wants something that's outside of him, as it were. He wants a visual representation of God at work. He knows if he wakes up that morning and he can wring out a bowl full of water from the fleece, that that's God at work. He wants something practical. He wants something that can be seen, that's a way of God working in his life. Again, we can see believers who fall into that trap of trusting emotions and trusting in feelings alone whenever it comes to deciphering the will of God. Oftentimes, God's people can pray at night. If I wake up in the morning and I feel like doing it, then Lord, I'll know that's of you. And you can wake up in the morning and you can feel like doing it, but it just turns out to be a disaster. You can wake up in the morning and not feel like doing it, and the Lord can truly bless. So whenever it comes to seeking clarity from God, again, we just can't pray for a change of heart. We can't just trust in a change of heart. Solomon said in Proverbs, "He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely shall be delivered." When we can pray for a change of heart, we can pray for God to make us like something, so then we know it's from him. And oftentimes God can call us to places we don't like. God can call us to do things we don't like to do. You just have to ask Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go anywhere near Nineveh. And yet that was the place God called him to. Is there something even this morning that maybe doesn't just sit right with you this morning, dear believer? Is there something that the Lord's calling you to that's, as you would say, outside your comfort zone? Something that you wouldn't initially have thought of whenever you've let the Lord lead and guide you thus far? Will you take that step out in faith with him? There was a missionary, I can't remember exactly who it was, but he was praying for the will of God. He laid his heart out before the Lord, laid himself on the altar before the Lord, and he was praying, "Lord, I'll go absolutely anywhere for you. I'll go anywhere in the world for you except China." And the Lord said to him, "It's funny you mention that place, because that's exactly where I want you to go." He didn't want to go, but the Lord took him and the Lord blessed him mightily. And so we can't trust our hearts this morning, dear believer, whenever it comes to finding the will of God. See how specific Gideon was. See how he wanted something seen as well. And in all these things, Gideon wanted something satisfactory as well. He wanted something that would content them. He wanted something that would settle this assurance. He wasn't setting out a series of challenges to try and catch God out. He wasn't laying out before the Lord multiple, completely impossible scenarios from our perspective. Something that just could not be done. Gideon's not looking to a get-out clause here. He's not looking to for this not to be his will. He wants to make sure that it is. And yes, he's fearful. Yes, he's anxious. Yes, he's worried. But in the midst of all that, we can see that Gideon truly does have a genuine heart for the Lord. He truly wants to move on with him. He wants to have this knowledge. He wants to have this assurance. He doesn't want to back out. He just wants the Lord to prove himself. And there comes a time, believer, the Lord can give us many signs. The Lord can prove his word time and again. But there is that time where the heart needs to be satisfied. There needs to be that thing that the Lord does that's enough for us to move on with him. Whenever it comes to the end times even, Christ said an evil and adulterous, or whenever he was performing his miracles, Jesus said an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign. You know, people wanted to see Jesus do enough miracles that maybe one day he'd be caught out and there was one he couldn't do. And that would maybe disprove the deity of Christ. That would disprove that he was really the Messiah. And again, that's how the world we live, that's the world we live in works. The law of averages. Hoping that something isn't true. Hoping it doesn't come to pass. Can't have that heart, dear believer, whenever it comes to seeking the Lord's will. See Gideon's communion here. Yes, he's close to the Lord. See Gideon's conditions here and those things that he lays out before the Lord. I know it's not explicitly mentioned in the verses that we read, but consider Gideon's company here for a few moments. Consider Gideon's company. God has called him to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Only a few verses beforehand, Gideon gave out the call to arms, and 32,000 people came to him. And 32,000 people were now ready to go with Gideon to fight the Midianites. And these 32,000 people are with him, ready to go to battle. They've given up their time. Some of them are ready to give up even their lives. But because of Gideon's hesitancy and because of Gideon's indecisiveness, 32,000 people have wasted 2 days. They spent 2 days doing nothing. 2 days, 48 hours of the will of God have been taken from them because Gideon was too hesitant to move on and trust the Lord himself. 2 days in which the Israelites could have been freed. 2 more days of freedom, 2 more days of deliverance. But because Gideon was hesitant, those 2 days weren't known. Yes, they were relieved. Yes, they were delivered. But it was done 2 days later than it could have been. In one of the saddest verses in all the Word of God, Matthew 13 and the verse 58, speaking of the Lord Jesus in the city of Nazareth, he said, "He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Many people could have been healed. Many lives could have been transformed. But because of their lack of faith in Christ, those great blessings weren't known. Believer this morning, and with this, if it is a rebuke to you, it comes with great encouragement to move on in the things of God. What are you delaying till tomorrow what you could have known yesterday? What great blessing from the hand of God is waiting next week that you could have known last month? Whether it be through unbelief, whether it be through hesitancy, whether it be through worry, whether it be through a lack of faith and a lack of assurance, what is it that you're putting off in the will of God that you could have known even a season before? Is there something the Lord's calling you to, but for one reason or another, it's just holding you back? Take him at his word, dear believer, and know the great blessing that the Lord already has determined for his people. Now, even as we think of the Lord blessing us, as we think of delay, we can also think of it from an evangelistic point of view as well. There's people here in Saintfield that I can't reach, but you can. There's people likewise in Rough Island that I can get to easier than you can here in Saintfield. Even then, and not even just on a geographical level, but on an individual level this morning. Each and every one of us here this morning, and I know it's hard to believe in Northern Ireland, and we never thought we'd be able to say this, but there's people in your lives this morning, and there's people in my life this morning, and you are the only gospel influence in their lives. You're the only representation of Christ that they come across on a frequent basis. Somebody made a comment on Facebook whenever the census statistics were put up, and I had to check it myself because I couldn't believe it, and it's true. There's now more Muslims in Northern Ireland than Free Presbyterians. You used to be able to say that would never happen in Ulster. You can look up the census statistics yourself. Do you see how small the gospel population is becoming? See how small the gospel influence is becoming in this land? Is there someone the Lord's wanting you to reach, but for fear or for hesitancy or whatever it be, there's something holding you back? Is there a word in season that the Lord wants you to lay on someone's heart that may well draw them to the Lord, but you're putting it off and putting it off? With none to heed, they're crying for light and love and life. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. It's a great challenge to all of us here this morning. See how dangerous often hesitancy can be. And yet the Lord is merciful. And the Lord is gracious. And the Lord undertakes, dear believer, in our weaknesses. And don't just take him at his word, but trust his power as well. Trust in him to see us through. Trust in him to give us, whether it be the words to say or the clarity to move on with him, to do whatever he says he will do, so that we can move on further with him. We see Gideon's communion. We see his conditions. We see his company. We see Gideon's conviction here as well. Because even though God does grant him this request, and even though he does pray for this thing to be satisfactory, even though he does pray, "Then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said," God does what he said Gideon, or God did what Gideon asked him to do. Verse 39, Gideon said unto God, "Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once." Oh, he wants another sign, but he knows here he's pushing the boundaries. Let not thine anger be hot against me. He knows that he told the Lord he'd be settled on this previous sign, but now he's going back on his word. Another excuse crops up in his heart, another excuse, another barrier crops up in his mind, and so he just wants something even more, just to bring that sense of faith, to bring that sense of assurance that he thinks he needs. Eventually he's going to run out of fleeces, and he'll have to move on with the Lord. The same happened with Moses. Remember, the Lord spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And God told Moses that he saw the people suffering, and Moses, I'm sure, said amen within himself, and how God was going to deliver the Israelites from Egypt again. Moses was saying amen, and the Lord says, right, you go to Pharaoh. Then all of a sudden the excuses came. All the reasons why Moses couldn't go. All the previous conditions that Moses had, how the things he found himself in, the various things that was wrong with him, how other people were better suited for the job. Eventually all the excuses ran out and he had to go. And again, believer, you may have said to the Lord then, I'll know that this is from your hand. And the Lord's done it. Now the challenge comes, now the questions comes, will you move on now? God has said, or God has done what he said he would do. Are you ready to move on? Are you ready to take that step of faith in him? He knows he's crossing or pushing the boundaries here. He knows he's very close to crossing a line. He knows that he has already laid these things before the Lord. And again, here we see how gracious God is to his people. We see how gracious and how merciful God is to those who are weak, to those who do need assurance, to those who do need faith. Because God grants his request here once again. God did so that night in verse 40. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. See here that God met Gideon at the point of his weakness. God didn't berate him because of his lack of faith, but he gave him the assurance that he needed. He met Gideon at the point of his need. He met Gideon at the point of his weakness, so that they could move on together. If you bear with me just for 2 minutes, and it'll be a very brief Greek lesson. In John chapter 21, whenever we have that encounter of Christ and Peter on the beach, and Christ asks Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter replies, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. There's two different Greek words that are used in that exchange between the three times it's asked. The one that's used of Christ is the Greek word agape, which means a great, reverent love, a devoted love, a love that never is put out, a love that never gives up. And that's the love that Peter, or the Lord, challenged Peter to have for him. Whenever Peter responded to the Lord, he used the word phileo, which is like a brotherly love. He couldn't truly say that he loved the Lord as he ought. And so the first two times the Lord asked Peter, do you truly love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Peter replies, Lord, I love you like a brother. The third time that Christ asked Peter, lovest thou me, he uses the word that Peter used. He used the word phileo. And even there we see a wonderful illustration of Christ meeting Peter at the point of his need. Christ meeting Peter at the point of his weakness. Don't we thank the Lord this morning that he doesn't stand off and just wait for us to build up whatever level of faith he requires of us. And until we get to that point, he'll do nothing with us. But how he comes and meets us at the point of our need. Again, but there may be one this morning who sympathizes with Gideon here and can easily place himself in Gideon's position. Know that the Lord still meets us at the point of our weakness. How he still undertakes. How he doesn't want us just to stumble about in the dark from one moment of indecisiveness to another. But he will meet his people at the point of our need. And with that, with God doing so once again, Gideon now knows it's time to move on with the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 7, after this has happened, it says, then Jerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod. For all the signs, for all the promises, Gideon knows it's time to put faith into action now. His mind and his heart is finally settled. He knows he can't really afford any more delay. He knows that there's a calling that God has given him that he has to accomplish. God very graciously and very mercifully has met him at the point of his need. He has given him the signs that he wanted. He has given him the clarity that he needed. And now all these things were ready. And Gideon had to move on with the Lord. He had to take that next step in his wealth. And whenever the people of Israel were gathered at Mount Sinai, and we think of Mount Sinai and we read about the people of Israel encamped at Mount Sinai and the great power and the great glory God displayed to them there, and all that happened there at Sinai, the giving of the law, and all that entailed. God said to the people in Deuteronomy chapter 1, "Ye have dwelt long enough on this mountain." As beneficial as Sinai was to them, as important as Sinai was to them, it was time for them to move on to the next place God wanted them to be. So with this thought, we bring this part of the meeting to a close, dear believer. As beneficial as this last season may have been to you, as important even as this last season in the will of God has been to you, is the Lord saying to one this morning, "You've dwelt long enough in this mountain, and it's time to take him at his word to whatever it is the Lord has for his people." The great hymn writer says, "What he says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey." Will you trust and obey him this morning and see the great things that God has planned for his people? May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning for his dear name's sake. Let's just sing together as we close. I've lost the hymn number. I found it, sorry. 541, if you're using the hymn books. 541, "With harps and with vials, there stands a great throng in the presence of Jesus and sings this new song." 541, we'll stand together as we sing this wonderful hymn.